Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hello, everyone. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Tuesday morning. Well, it's going to be a busy show because we got a lot going on. Obviously, still trying to clean up the mess of the Eagles debacle in Tampa. We'll talk about that a ton. Also, you know, moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, Phil's playoffs, 4 days from now from the Phillies, but eight teams in action today in Major League Baseball, including the Mets and Braves, who have advanced there. Diamondbacks out, Atlanta and New York in. Two major passings yesterday from the world of sports, and specifically Philadelphia sports, Dikembe Mutombo and Pete Rose. We'll talk about them. And also, a lot of interviews with Ron Jaworski, Brandon Graham, and Nick Sirianni all on the show. Your phone calls as well, 215-592-9494. Buckle up. It's going to be quite a program. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
What's up there, buddy?
You can hear cauliflower growing.
I mean, you better have good ears.
You don't need good ears, although your ears might be bad enough that you can't hear this vegetable. An inch every day under the right growing conditions, cauliflower can grow an inch every day, and farmers refer to it as the cauliflower creek.
Is that like how the Eagles improve 1% every day? Except, what do they do, Seltzer?
Oh.
Not! Is that a bad use of not, or was that appropriate?
Yeah, it was okay.
You know, I mean, like, remember that?
Yeah, oh, of course.
Remember improve 1%
Joe,
every
you're
day?
Cool. Not!
Yeah, the not thing was so bad. All right.
How many times did that
How could I forget the improve 1% every day? We've heard it 8
Wait,
billion
let me,
times.
Let me ask a not question. What year was the heyday of not? 95?
It was in the, mid-90s for sure.
Somewhere
early 90s, maybe. You know, like 93 to 96.
Like, I gotta tell you guys, that was a really cool part of America. Not!
Nailed it.
All right, I kind of butchered it.
Way better that time.
All right, guys, here we go. Let's start Eagles. And we're going to get to everything we can today as much as we can. All right. Biggest topic in the immediate is whether to fire Sirianni or not. In the immediate. Look, personally, I think Hurts is a bigger issue. I think the defense is a bigger disaster. But, like, they're not going to change all their defensive personnel this week. They're not going to change their quarterback this week. They do have an opportunity, obviously, with the bye week. They do have an opportunity to can the head coach, who, by the way, will join us on the show today at 8:40. I ask you this question. We kind of dabbled in it yesterday. We're just taking it straight on today. With you at 215-592-9494. Would you fire Nick Sirianni, you know, today? If they're going to do it in the bye week, it's probably going to be today. Yesterday or today, they didn't do it yesterday. Would you do it today? We had a poll yesterday. Poll question, should the Eagles fire him in the bye week? 63% of people, I'm sure some of you listening were part of that 63% of people that voted on Twitter. 63% of people said, yes, fire him. So I ask these questions to you at 215-592-9494. What do you want to do? What do you want the Eagles to do? Do you want them to fire him or not? And if you're not a yes, give me your how close are you? John, take first crack at it. Sirianni, would you can him? Why or why not? How close if you're currently a no?
I am so close to canning our head coach. And you know what? I'm not going to use that terminology because it's disrespectful. This is a bigger deal than that. This is a massive, this is one of 32 opportunities in the world to coach an NFL football team. And that's why I'm opposed to Nick Sirianni being the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think he's up to that challenge.
But you're saying keep him or get rid of him?
Well, that's the hang up.
That is the hang up.
I've seen the disruption. I've seen the disruption last season of what it looked to go from Desai to Patricia.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I don't want that for this team again, 2 years in a row. I think that might still be lingering from last year, and I guess we'll never know completely. But I don't believe that the players respect this head coach the way I want them to. But I want the Eagles players to have a chance this season, and I think Nick Sirianni staying gives them the best chance this season.
Because of the disruption factor?
The continuity factor. But I don't want a head coach who doesn't command respect with his players around the league. Mike Tomlin is a CEO head coach. John Harbaugh is a CEO head coach, and that feels like such a far cry from our CEO head coach. I want that. And does Nick feel like those two guys to you in current capacity?
No.
There's no. And I don't think he's going to become a pillar anytime soon to where I feel comfortable with that. I don't want this head coach, but it's possible that the Eagles have made this guy insulated and impervious to firing right now until whenever they see fit also.
Well, it could be
and
close.
I hope they see fit soon in the least disruptive way possible. I don't think it's possible to do it non-disruptively.
Well, let me ask you this, Sean.
Now.
Two or three more losses in a row, like if it happened, and I know the schedule is one of the easier stretches they have this year.
Jeez.
If the Phillies...
That would be, absolute disaster. But wait, that would.
You would?
Yes. Yeah. No question, because these next four games, just look at the schedule. It feels like, it's right. Teams that have been so off their rhythm.
Sure.
You know, the Browns and the Bengals, the Jags. You know, Doug Peterson's about to get fired. By the time we play them, he might not even be the head coach. So it's an easy schedule.
All right, so let me say it again. You can weigh in 215-592-9494. On our Twitter poll yesterday, 63% said yes, fire him. What would you do? Again, you can weigh in, and why or why not.
I don't want to fire him, Joe. I do think it has to be considered a massive failure by Howie Roseman that he did not fire him.
Or
February.
Look, that's a big part of this. So let me tell you where I'm at on this. I'm a no on firing him today. And frankly, I'm not really that close. I mean, in a couple weeks, I guess I could be. But it's not like if they lose one more game and get to 2-3, I say, all right, get rid of him then. I'm not there for a few different reasons. First off, I agree with something John just said there at the end. I do think the Eagles missed the moment at the end of last season. I mean, at the end, when the season was over. I was one of the 70-something percent, in our poll, mid-January after the loss of Tampa in the playoffs that said fire him then. I think they missed the mark at that moment. Let's just start with that opinion from my standpoint. And I'm sure many people would share that opinion today. Now, as it relates to right now, why would I not fire him now? Well, first off, I think John had an excellent point. I mean, we saw last year with the decided Patricia thing. Football is a different sport than other sports. It's not as simple as, hey, pitcher, go pitch. Hey, batter, go hit. Like, it's a lot more complicated than that. It's a lot more complicated than that. From a strategic standpoint, it's a totally different animal. I mean, I know in 2022, the Phillies canned Girardi and elevated Rob Thomson and just freaking surged. And June became July, became August, became September, and voila! The Phils were in October, and they almost won the World Series. And I know the same thing happened with the Flyers in 2009 to 2010. Early season, John Stevens is struggling. I remember it well. Team was a disaster out of the gate. And, Peter Laviolette is brought in, and they just take off like a rocket ship. And that team also, believe it or not, exact same thing. Gets to a game six of the finals. So it can work, but I think it works better in those sports. Football's complicated. I look at the Desai to Patricia thing last year, I see disaster. I look at no one's saying Juan Castillo should have been the defensive coordinator when he was in 2012 under Andy Reid, but history shows, believe it or not, and it's true, Todd Bowles, who's like 1,000 times better defensive coordinator than than Castillo was. When Todd Bowles took over, it was worse. It was worse. Even though he was an adult, you know, defensive guy. So I'm just really struck by the history.
Continuity matters.
In that sport more than anything. So I'm struck by that. You know, you guys know I also believe wholeheartedly that Hurts is the biggest issue. So I...
And you know that he hasn't had continuity.
No question about it. No question. I grade Sirianni on a bit of a curve related to Hurts. I grade him on a hell of a curve related to the defense. I mean, I don't quite know how Howie would look him in the face and fire him when Howie's giving him squat tile defense 2 years in a row. So, you know, that reality is in play. And then the other thing I'll say is, there is a lot of history that says you can climb out of a hole, and we've seen it with the Eagles. 95, they were 1-3. You know, 03, they were 0-2. They were also 2-3 and teetering to 2-4 before B. West's punt return. You know, 06 was a mini fiasco before Garcia saved the day. I mean, 08 was a roller coaster. You know, 2013, they were 1-3. Heck, guys, 3 years ago, they were both 2-5 and 3-6 and made the playoffs. So I'm just not of the mindset to do it yet. I'm not telling you it shouldn't be on the table of discussion. I do think it should be. Lurie and Howie, it should be a meeting point amongst the top brass of the Eagles, you know, this week. I believe that. But if I'm them, I'm saying not yet. Not yet. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Would you fire Sirianni today, yes or no? Why or why not, and how close would you be if you're a no? Plus, we'll talk about Dikembe. We'll talk about Pete Rose. We'll get you set for the baseball playoffs. Some wild action yesterday in games 161 and 162 of the Mets and Braves. That was wild stuff. That and more. And look, it's a strange thing. We're happy the Diamondbacks are out. We're not thrilled that the Braves and Mets are in. Any which way you slice that, it was going to get awkward. Bottom line is Mets and Braves in, Diamondbacks out, Phillies in 4 days. Well, it should be quite a show. This is one of those ones, honestly, where it's like we're just going to do our best to jam as much in as we can. I mean, you know, as you just heard there in the update with Rhea, it's like the Eagles, the Phillies, Pete Rose, Dikembe. I mean, Seltzer, the Braves and Mets yesterday, how nuts so was that?
One of the all-time great regular season baseball games of my life. Like, that was unbelievable. Game one, obviously.
Incredible.
Yeah, really. I mean,
six-run, like, eighth inning,
yeah, it was
4-run.
3-0, then 6-3, then 7-6, then 8-7. I mean, it was all eighth inning after. It was thrilling.
It really kind of reminded me a little bit. Now, it's not the same exact pattern, but of the Phillies-Astros game five in 1980. Because, you know, the Astros had a big lead. Phils took the lead. Astros tied it. Phils then won it in extra innings. I mean, it was just, it wasn't exactly like that, but it had a similar sort of thing going on. So, look, baseball playoffs start today, which is awesome. Hey, John, welcome to October. Red October.
Yay.
It is Red October. Like, soak that in.
Yeah, it hadn't.
It's Red October.
It really
feels. And the Phillies play
different
on Saturday, like this week. I know it feels like it's such a long thing, but Phillies play this week.
I'm well aware, and I'm also aware we desperately need them.
More than anything.
I know. All right, let's go to the phone. So where you stand on the Sirianni front? You want to comment on the other stuff as well, please do. Again, Pete Rose and Dikembe, major consequential figures, both locally and nationally, and in Dikembe's case, particularly internationally. So we'll take your calls. 215-592-9494. And to fire Sirianni, yes or no, why or why not, how close if you're a no. Corey kicks us off this morning. Good morning, Corey.
What's up? Good morning. Morning, Shaw. How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Corey.
So obviously after coming down the Monday morning quarterback, everybody overreacts. So Monday, I was fired, Sirianni. I was 100% out. But
now you're keeping. That's great.
Now when you sit back and think about it, it's like if you fire Sirianni now, it's like what is that telling the team? So then when you sit back and do actually the breakdown, like Sirianni preaches this like this, core values,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So his core values, what do we do? Like, what do we do with his four? Like, we're not a smart football team. The team doesn't look connected, right? They don't have good fundamentals.
That's a major issue.
Like, that game Sunday, I didn't see anybody competing. So it's like, what are you doing as a head coach?
The effect that you're having with your core values, it seems negligible. I'm not seeing a positive, like, wow, the fundamental growth in our team from week to week, like the tackling looks so much better this week. The opposite was actually true.
Exactly.
The fundamentals looked worse, much worse.
All right, so, Corey, why keep him?
So the reason why I keep him is because if you look at week one, other than Jalen Hurts' turnovers, the football team actually looked competent. Like, coming out of week one, our issues was Jalen Hurts turning the ball over. Like, yeah, I know we've had a lot of weeks, but that was the big issues, Jalen not turning the ball over. But when you had all of your horses, we actually put up 34 points, Jalen Hurts turned the ball over. And the defense, yeah, they look bad on a bad field, but they got key stops in the red zone. So I want to see how this team looks after the bye, when everyone's back, when everyone's healthy going forward, and see how we look. Because if you move on from Sirianni, you're pretty much saying Kellen Moore is – I honestly think Kellen Moore was probably brought here to be the next coach anyway. That's why they put him on the staff. I don't think they'll do – if a guy like Belichick comes here, you're pretty much bringing in a guy like Chip Kelly, which, you know, that's
– Could you imagine if Belichick brought in Chip Kelly and Matt Patricia?
Yeah, good. It's Belichick, sure. Absolutely good. Are you kidding me?
Corey, good call, man.
He spent his entire career being like, I don't care what you think of my assistant.
Ultimate troll.
Even the people that want Belichick, and I'm one of them, I would say 99% of them, if they found out that Patricia and Chip came with Belichick, would say no. 99.
Not.
It's just impossible.
Right, Ray? I mean, that would be. And I don't think Lurie would let Chip back in the building. I think for Lurie, that would be, honestly, I think that would be a deal breaker.
I don't think fans would let Matt Patricia back in the building.
That's a whole nother matter. Incredible. All right, let's talk to Damon and Conshohocken. What's going on, Damon?
Hey, can you hear me well?
What?
Pretty well.
Yeah,
good.
We got you, Damon. We got you, buddy. Go ahead.
I agree with everything Corey just said. I think my biggest thing with Sirianni and I said to James, what I'd like you to ask him about most importantly, or one of the things that's on my mind that maybe wouldn't be brought up normally, is what is he planning to do with this off-the-field stuff? Because I think all the stuff he said, you know, what is his role as the head coach?
Look, Damon, I'm gonna tell you right now. Listen, he gives very, very long answers, and it often sort of undercuts our ability to ask as many questions as we would prefer, because there's just only so much time you have. I mean, his answers are 2 to 4 minutes sometimes. But I definitely want to get into, for instance, the Devin White stuff. What is going on there? Do you think he's trying to intentionally get cut by the team? You know, I mean, it's just like, it's a very, what is your discipline for Devin White if you're going to keep him? Are you disciplining him? I mean, that's unacceptable. He's lauding a Bucs player for strip sacking the Eagles quarterback. So if he's capped, is he disciplined? What do you do? So, Damon, I mean, we got a million topics to discuss with him. We'll get as many in as we possibly can.
Right. And I think most of, like, in particular, too, with Slay, that's a guy that's a captain of your team. And this guy goes on social media. It's a distraction, and it points to discipline of this team and where this locker room is at. And when you talk about what are the actual roles that Sirianni plays, I would assume generally he would have put importance on, hey, guys, the fans are going to say whatever they want, which we have every right to. But you guys need to limit the distraction,
no question,
not feed into it. And I see multiple players in 3-4 weeks now feeding into every bit of it.
Damon,
that's a really good point.
I agree. A million percent.
Yeah.
It feeds into the seeds of this locker room and where they're at, the stuff with Hurts and where he's at with the coach. Again, it just all points to what does this guy do? Because we talked about this big transition of his power and his role and not calling plays. And it continues to point in the wrong direction. And again, it's a trend where, all right, we might not be there yet to fire this guy or let him go, but it's like, hey, man, what are you doing for this team?
All right, Damon, that excellent series of points and questions, rhetorical or not, good stuff there. Let's get to some audio here because,
you know,
go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just looking back through the schedule last night, like going back to last year, just trying to make sense of all of this. It really is almost nonsensical.
In what way?
The numbers. It doesn't add up. In my mind, I'm trying to make sense of the way I thought this team computed and what this team has actually put out there on the field. Mm-hmm. Going back to last December, going back to the beginning of last December 3rd, you know, if we're going regular season and postseason games, there's just the one postseason game. The team is 3-8.
Yep.
Our team. Now, I know that you got a couple games at the end of the year that it wasn't that important.
Well,
that
the Giants
win them.
The Giants one was the only one where it had no bearing on playoff positioning.
Yeah, so you can say that they could say, "Hey, we were," you know, and the focus was in a different place. But that's kind of what that 3-8. That's what it feels like.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
I want it to feel like 8-3, but it feels like 3-8, and it actually is 3-8.
Yeah.
This team has performed at a baseline level of one of the worst.
Well, you know what strikes
teams.
John, let me add something into that strikes me. So there's the team, there's the defense, there's there's the coach, there's the quarterback. So, you know, Jared Goff last night, and I don't know how many people watched this, but Jared Goff and the Lions won. They put up a big, you know, score. And
Jared Goff
he was
went
perfect.
Off. Before
he was
the
perfect.
Game,
That's
before
right.
the game, Jared Goff said, normally, if I have a good game, we'll win. He was very forthright about that. He had not been playing well.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm going to play better now.
Yeah, so here's
he did.
You know, he did. Here's my point. He didn't have an incompletion.
Yeah.
Didn't have an interception, incompletion. Like, it was a perfect night. It was a perfect night.
I thought that was the redemption that he must
feel.
I
know.
Like, I appreciated the work that he put in.
Sure.
I mean, he basically called himself out, and then he went and did something about it. Great job by him.
No, it is. Here's where the Jared Goff thing and the Baker Mayfield thing, it's a fascinating dynamic as it relates to Jalen. I'm sure anybody can figure out right now where I'm headed. There's a yin and a yang to this. Both guys had been number one overall picks. Jalen wasn't number one. He was a second-round pick, but immediately established being pretty damn good, okay? Not pretty damn good, but not long into his career was exceptional, okay? Both guys obviously ultimately failed at their first stop. Baker Mayfield, Cleveland, Jared Goff, L.A., both get dumped by their team. Baker Mayfield bounced around to four teams, I think, in 1 year, three or four teams in 1 year. Both resurrected their career. I would say right now both are better than Jalen Hurts, but it's debatable. Here's my point. If you're the Eagles, you know, when this season is over, if Jalen doesn't improve, is it throw out Jalen time because he's been passed by guys like Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff, or maybe passed by them, okay? Or is it believe in the resurrection of a guy's career, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, and others, and say, no, I'm gonna hang in for another year or two, you know, to try to see this thing through? I can't tell you definitively what the right answer is. I mean, we got to see this season play out to know more. What I can tell you is that could be the kind of conversation Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are having, whether it's with or without Nick Sirianni, because those are two real-life examples. Now, both guys went elsewhere, and that's probably part of how they resurrected their career, whether it's through different coaching or just change of scenery. Sometimes you get so beat up in a spot, you know, it's tough to overcome it where you are. So, just, you know, tuck it away and think about it, because I'm fascinated by the performance of those two players as it relates to Hurts, both the good and the bad, for what could be moving forward. Go to camera, John Ritchie. Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning, 94 WIP. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It kind of ties in to whether to keep Sirianni or not. So, Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet with the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse. It has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, do you think the Eagles are going to make the playoffs this year? Yes or no? Now, let me say this. If you think it's a yes, that's not in and of itself definitively a reason to keep Sirianni. I mean, there's an argument that you're going to make the playoffs and could go further without him. That there is that argument. There's also the argument that you lessen your chances to make the playoffs if you change head coaches. I mean, it is a tough, let's put it this way. It is a sport that you don't see a change of the head coach in season all that often. You certainly see it more in other sports. And I think the reason is because of, you know, how interconnected the whole operation is. Offense to defense, to special teams, to meetings, to this, to that. Essentially wrapped up in one word, strategy. You know, no one had to tell Barry Bonds what his strategy would be to go bat. Go hit the ball, Bonds. But, I mean, football is a whole different animal. John, from
well, it's a team. The coaches are a team.
Well, then there's like culture.
The team
and
the yeah. is a team.
Well, there's that also.
And these guys are friends. They spend 20 hours a day together.
Look, Rob Thompson and Joe Girardi were friends.
Inextricable from everyone else.
Guys, Rob Thompson survived not one but two firings. One in season, one after season. Kapler, gone. Who brought Rob Thompson in. Girardi, gone in season. Who retained Rob Thompson. That's how Rob Thompson got the job. John, in your playing days, if a coach got fired in a season, and I know you did not deal with that in pro football, if that were to happen, how complicated do you think it would have been? Like, what would it have done to Rich Gannon or Donovan McNabb if that had happened?
No, look, I can't imagine the kind of... It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Concept of Donovan McNabb meeting with someone other than Andy Reid as they're going over, like, hey, what do you like here?
Now, that's maybe not the best example because Kellen Moore's kind of more taking the lead on that. So I should say that's not the best example.
Okay.
But you get my point. Complicated.
Yeah. It is complicated. And these are relationships that have layers. You know, football on top of interpersonal, on top of family, on top of religion, on top of there's so much that goes into all of these interpersonal relationships.
Well, look, to fire Sirianni or not, I would not. I'm not saying it's not something you think about. I mean, obviously, I'm thinking about it. We're discussing it. But I wouldn't do it yet. And I wouldn't do it in another game or two. I mean, they'd have to lose like 50-0 for me to go there. Also, you know, caller brought up, there's just a lot of stuff going on with the Eagles now. Go ahead, John.
Hold on, though. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're going to look at these core values and see them continue to erode, you know, like as the season progresses, it really is stunning that fundamentals is one of these core values that he talks about over and over. He talks about connecting over and over. And now you got the quarterback of this team, when asked how much are you guys going to be like working through things, rehashing things, he's not willing to admit any sort of interactive, positive relationship, it seems.
Look,
like, that is wonky.
Well, it is. I mean, and it can slice both ways. It can be Sirianni's fault, it can be Hurts' fault, or it could be both their faults. You know, I mean, I don't pretend to know who's more to blame there. Did Sirianni's personality irritate Hurts and lead to Hurts kind of pulling away from Sirianni and not trusting him? Or did Hurts is just, you know, I don't know what to call it, just strangeness. I mean, he's a different kind of guy. Is that just difficult for Sirianni to get through to?
But is the Sirianni thing, like, at this point in time, I can't imagine that it fixes itself. I can't imagine that it gets better.
I don't think it normally does.
I can't imagine their relationship, which does seem to have been somewhat of a problem last season, and we don't even know how much or the specifics on it. Seems like it's rearing its ugly head again now.
It's a little bit
early.
It's a concern. Here's what I'll say. Without us even remotely being able to know all the times in Philadelphia sports history where two guys were not on the same page and either got back on it or didn't, I would tend to think the most prominent example of getting back on the same page was Larry Brown and Allen Iverson. I mean, it was
they learned to live with each other.
They learned.
Yeah.
But it was really bumpy.
Yes,
I mean, Larry Brown literally traded him.
Yeah.
And because of Matt Geiger's trade kicker, the trade was technically not consummated.
It's amazing.
And AI was like stuck with the Sixers and they went to the finals.
Yeah.
And, you know, and look, the New York Giants had an example, John, you'll remember, with Tom Coughlin. They thought he was a hard ass, and You know, Coughlin backed off, you know, a bit.
You're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late.
You know, so like...
on time. Yeah, 5 minutes early is on time, yeah.
Right. Oh, he was actually fining guys for all the little things like socks. In the NFL, if your socks are down, they can technically fine you, and
Stray
Coughlin
hands.
Would.
Yeah, the stray hands of the world were like, come on, dude. So, you know, look, I want to play two pieces of audio and then right back to the phones, because there's also the reality that it does feel like early in the season, some stuff is starting to swirl around now where it's like, what's going on with that comment and this social media and Devin White and Gardner Johnson says a lot of stuff. So let's go back. And not that there's anything wrong at all with what we're about to play from CJ GJ. This is pregame, and he's just pumped up, ready to, you know, go to battle. And he makes this comment. He's talking about belts to asses before the game, trying to say the Eagles are about to take it to Tampa Bay.
I'm only 30 minutes on the road. I'm going to put belt to ass today.
All right, so it's kind of funny, but it's less funny when you don't back it up at all. So Darius,
he really didn't.
No, he was horrible. And look, this has not been a good first quarter of the season for him. I mean, that was a disappointment, what he gave him in September. So Darius Slay was on a podcast with Micah Parsons yesterday. Now, before we go any further.
You could just stop there and be like, that's annoying.
Now, James, I need your ruling on that. Inbounds or out of bounds, Eagle on Cowboys podcast?
So, I mean, I think in and of itself, it's out of bounds, like Eagle on a Cowboy podcast. But particularly the day after you lost a game. Like, it's just, I get it. These guys go on other, like, do it in the offseason. Like, we are in the season right now. They are your main freaking rival.
I agree with you on
and
that.
And you're on the podcast yucking it up. Like, I not a fan.
And I want Sirianni to deal with that. You know, if we're talking culture and you're talking about connecting, by the way, the main thing is amongst each other, but also like to the town. Connect to the town. And so don't have a prominent Eagle on a prominent Cowboys podcast. All right. Not saying it's the end of the world, but I'm saying I don't think he should have done it just fundamentally. Then you get to like what they got to. So the CJ GJ thing had been hanging out there. Micah Parsons and CJ GJ went back and forth last week. Parsons had commented on what CJ GJ said before the game. Obviously, he looks foolish when you're like belts to asses and then you lose by 77 points. So here's the exchange Darius Slay had with Micah Parsons yesterday. And just here it is.
Yeah, hey, one thing I know about 8, man. 8 go bring the noise. 8 go bring the energy. And 8 go bring all the trash talking that half the team's not doing. So he fulfilled that need for us. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy with a lot of energy. He go talk that trash, but you know, hey, you go talk, you got to back it up at some point in time. And if you don't, he know for sure that media go catch it, go catch it on attention, and he got to be ready to answer every time. Because if he don't, media go throw his ass every time. But
every
you know what's up with him, man. You know what's up with him. He go do it. Now, hey, I told him, do your thing, man. But hey, you know now, you don't perform the way you want to perform, they're going to get back on you.
Look, I'll say this. I agree with Darius Slay in this regard. You better be careful when you go there. Like, I would call it pick your spots. Like, to me, Patrick Beverley as a Sixer and just in his NBA career, I get tired of that guy because he's never not talking, and too often he's not winning. And it's like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Like, at least when, you know, does that, like, yeah, I'm going to win a lot. Going to win a lot. Beat the Hammer. Fridays at 8 or 7:45, whatever the
time is. I immediately think of you when I think of CJ, GJ, and Pat Beverley.
All right, John, what do you make of it, the trash talking? Is it too much from Gardner Johnson on the field, off the field?
I think it is who he is. I think it is in an attempt in some cases to self-motivate, to self-soothe, you know, whatever you want to call it. This is part of how CJ GJ functions, and I have no problem with that.
Do you have a problem with Slay going on Cowboy podcast?
I think that is really tone deaf.
Laughing about his teammate not backing up his words,
right?
Hilarious.
Yeah, I think Slay has taken things too far. I mean, there is something to be said for like the open interchangeability of this new era of interconnectedness media wise.
Right.
But you can't be doing this. It's too far.
Bad luck. Bad
luck. Slay, it's too far, and you should know better. You are a vet.
Yeah.
This is clearly not something that is easily digestible.
Look, like I said, everyone, we got a lot to talk to Nick Sirianni about when he joins us at 8:40 today. By the way, big show otherwise, anyway, because we got Ron Jaworski 7:25, Brandon Graham in studio for half an hour at 7:40. Elliott at 820, and Nick Sirianni at 840. 215-592-9494. Also on Thursday, we're going to be at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. It's a big 12-hour broadcast for the return of Red October as we celebrate it, getting close to the start of the Phillies playoffs, which will be Saturday with Game 1 here on WIP. Time to be determined. Guests through the day, Phillies guests, a lot of stuff going on. Red October rally Thursday. Chickies and Pete's, 1526 Packer Avenue in South Philly. Be there if you can. If you can't, obviously try to listen to the show. Our show for 4 hours, the next two shows after that, a 12-hour WIP broadcast in South Philly. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike in Douglasville. Mike, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing all right, Mike.
So I kind of lost my voice, so we're going to fight through this one. But Darius Slay, get your head out of your ass. Freaking get that C off your goddamn chest. I can't believe this guy. How tone deaf do you got to be? I mean, seriously. I love Slay. And now it's just getting so old between them calling out players, what was that, last season, and then this crap now. Like, come on,
I was okay with him calling out players in certain capacities. I didn't have a problem with it last year.
In certain capacities, sure, but you don't need to be doing it in the media. I mean, he's sitting there at postgame saying, what's his name, you know, didn't cover who he was supposed to cover. But that, honestly, that just got me pissed off.
I think it was Keely Ringo last year, someone young. I think that does happen.
Ringo, yeah, something like that. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. But Sirianni, you know, I called it the day before Friday, or the day before game one. My God, I can't even talk. My bad. Saying I wanted to see what this offense could do, and I was just going to sit back and watch, and I was really curious as to what this defense was going to do. Let me be honest here. I'm tuning in on Sundays wondering what kind of clown show I'm going to watch that day.
Jeez.
Sirianni, I know, that sounds rough, but it's just like the only words I can form at this moment. I mean, watching some of these play calls or watching some of these defensive backs and how far off the line they are, it's ridiculous. And whether or not we want to fire Sirianni today, tomorrow, at the end of the season, my worry is this is an organizational philosophy as far as, especially on defense. Rhea, I know you remember your take. I don't know if you remember my take, but back when Jonathan Gannon was here, me and you were in absolute lockstep.
Yes.
As far as, no, we don't need you to blitz every guy goddamn down, but can we get
Mike, I need you to stop saying that word because we keep eliminating your audio when you do, so don't go there.
Yeah, you can't say
just,
that.
Just keep going. Go ahead, but without those words.
My bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need the linebackers to be more aggressive. We need our defensive backs to get up on the line because every time we face a good quarterback, they're carving us up. And then Joe and Richie, you guys remember, probably not actually, the day before we played the Super Bowl, I called you guys as being one of the only people on this radio station saying, I'm worried about our defense because we keep getting carved up by every good quarterback. And what happened? We got carved up.
Did.
Now here we are 3 years later or 4 years later, and we still have the exact same defensive philosophy.
Well, but Mike, I will say, with horrible talent, I mean, 2022, and Mike, good call. Look, 2022 Eagles guys had talent. I mean, you had two cornerbacks playing great. You had Fletcher Cox still playing well. You had Hargrave playing phenomenal. You had Brandon Graham younger. You had Josh Sweat better. You just did. You had T.J. Edwards in the middle. You had Gardner Johnson at a better point of his career. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I think there is way, way too much being made about the defensive scheme and not nearly enough being made about Howie Roseman. I think 2 years in a row, he has handed the head coach and whichever defensive coordinator it is, and this happens to now be the third defensive coordinator in 2 years and the fourth in 3 years, I just think he's handed him bad talent.
And I think Vic Fangio had a say in picking some of these players.
Listen, that is a likelihood.
We thought we had incredible youth and depth at cornerback.
But they can only play really three positions.
Well, that's the issue.
You know, they don't get to play 11
when
Avante positions.
Avante Maddox is cornerbacks who's on the field.
He's got to be off the field.
Teams are preying upon him. Like Avante Maddox in the slot, I can't tell you how behind he, like, it is with 90% certainty that he will be a half a step behind where he should be on every snap.
Look, we have seen players before who
so
have been
good. So that's the fix. Like,
well, no, I agree. Just
Avante Maddox, get
field.
Out of there. We
agree.
We have depth and youth. We can adjust. Like, that's a positive
on the defensive front.
I agree.
That is not the end of the world.
Well, let me ask you this, John. Josh Sweat.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
Right? He's not good enough.
Why it's not productive.
Because he's supposed to be in his prime. Like, right now, supposed to be the prime of his career.
I love
right now.
The way he looks as a defender. Yeah. You know, like, me personally, as a blocker, I hated trying to block guys that were put together like him because I knew that they would make it really hard for me to get into their body. He's got the arms that are almost like weapons. He can use them to keep you at bay. He just needs to use them better. And I guess it's just not enough explosiveness either. It does not feel frightening to opponents in any way going up against Josh Sweat. Think about the way a team has to, like, I don't know, Myles Garrett, the way a team has to worry to go up against the Browns. Like, you really are afraid for the well-being of your quarterback.
You know what it reminds me a little bit of?
Josh Sweat?
A little bit. It reminds me a little bit of Vinnie Curry and a little bit of L.J. Smith. Like, you saw something early. You thought there was something there, and then it just kind of peters out for whatever reason. Just kind of peters out. Josh Sweat's supposed to be better than this.
Meager.
All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, some very notable deaths yesterday, obviously in the world of sports, and specifically with tie-ins to Philadelphia sports. Let's start with Dikembe. It was the first, and I thought Pat Croce with one of the great tweets yesterday, because there were so many tributes to Dikembe, and I love this one from Pat. He wrote, "One of the greatest humans who walked on this planet. His compassionate heart, contagious smile, and wagging forefinger will be sorely missed." Look, Dikembe is a very consequential figure in the history of basketball because, you know, you have the Africa thing from a time when there hadn't been much of that going on in the NBA. So he's on the front end of that. Let's just start with that. I mean, that is part of how you get more stuff going on in Africa that ultimately leads to Dikembe Mutombo. I mean, excuse me, at least Joel Embiid. Like, you got camps down there and clinics and, you know, like, there's all that, right?
Infrastructure.
You know, pride in Africa to, like, hey, one of our guys.
Belief.
Yeah, belief is more the word I'm looking for. Like, hey, we can aspire to get to the NBA. So that's massive. His career, long and distinguished, a Hall of Fame career.
Great in college, too.
Great in college. I remember the game when he had all those blocks. I think it was like 9 or 11. I remember watching that on ESPN. It was a dominant game. My brother texted me yesterday who knew Dikembe a little bit in college.
Was he the one who went to Georgetown, assuming?
Three went to Georgetown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Three. Duh. Jeez.
So, my one brother texted me and said Dikembe was a good dude. My sister said she had been at the my sister went to the AI induction of the Hall of Fame a couple years back and said she talked to Dikembe there that night, said he was great. Like, everyone, I mean, I remember interacting with Dikembe. I thought he was awesome.
He's beloved. I mean, he really anybody I was texting, like, we loved him.
I remember Dikembe gave me his email address to come on a show. It's like, he's like, here's my...
He didn't give you the finger wag? No.
Here's my email address. Email me.
Well, a guy who's like, that big...
He's awesome.
A guy who's that big, he always has to be on. He always has to be up and ready to be laughing and talking, communicating, interacting with everybody. Because everywhere he goes, people want to say, hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, even if they don't know it's Dikembe Mutombo, it's like, whoa.
You're the 7'2 guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you do? Really, it is a special, like, life, I guess. And he was really good at that life, Dikembe Mutombo was.
And then the humanitarian aspect.
Always gracious, always considerate of others. Yeah. Like, he really was a true humanitarian above all else. Yeah, a wonderful life.
Two final things on Dikembe, and we can go on and on. And we certainly encourage your phone calls, both on Dikembe and Pete Rose today, because they're, you know, that was pretty big yesterday. Two final things. One, major impact, 0-1 Sixers. Now, it'll always be a controversial trade. Always, always, always. I think more people than not, looking back, prefer that Theo had been kept.
But Theo was injured. Like, and I don't
think
that
part people forget.
They do. I mean, it was a broken thumb.
It was something in his hand.
Yeah, and it didn't get better for a while.
I think Theo came back, I think, with like 3 or 4 games left in the season. We could look it up. But bottom line is Theo missed a ton of time.
Yep.
And so I was in for the Dikembe trade when it happened, but I know a lot of people weren't. Looking back, a lot of people still aren't. And obviously Dikembe did not have as much left in the tank moving forward in his career of excellence as Theo could have and would have had under Larry Brown. The other thing I'll say about Dikembe, greatest quote of all time. Greatest, Seltzer, what's the quote?
Greatest quote of all time.
Greatest quote of all time. What's the quote?
I don't know.
John, what's the quote? Rhea, what's the quote?
I'm not saying the one I'm thinking of.
That's the one I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, no. Conklin used to say it all the time in his voice.
All right.
But
I will go
ahead.
I will go there.
Who wants to sex my Dumbo?
Greatest quote of all time. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.